Hi, welcome to another episode of the CTO to CTO podcast. In today's episode, Piotr speaks to Pierre Bourgie, the co-founder and CEO of Strapi. Strapi is a leading open source CMS, which proudly boasts a community of over 30,000 members on GitHub. Piotr finds out from Pierre about the open source business models he has considered and which ones he's actually adopted, as well as how the team managed to build such outstanding user loyalty. They also talk about marketing strategies, how headless CMSs actually work, and what was Pierre's biggest learning of his career. Tune in.
Today, my guest is Pierre Bourgie, co-founder of Strapi, the first open source headless CMS. And we are going to talk about the headless content and API management, open source, business models, and how to grow the community. I can't wait to ask the first questions. So hi, Pierre. I'm very happy you accepted my invitation.
Hi, Pierre. Thanks. Thanks a lot for the invite. It's nice to be here.
That's awesome. Pierre, let's start with a very basic question. What is the headless CMS?
Yeah, so first of all, I think we can start with the definition of what is a CMS. Mm-hmm. So CMS stands for Content Management System. So yeah. This kind of software is used by companies to manage their content on their websites. So typically, if a company has a blog, then they're going to use a CMS to write the blog posts, and then they will be displayed on the website. So CMSs have been around for a while. I mean, the first CMSs have been released in 1995. So that's not new kind of software. What is new is that the content is not only it's not only displayed on websites nowadays, but also on mobile applications. IoT, it also needs to be connected to other services. And even the way to create a website really changed over the past few years, because developers want to use modern technologies such as React, Vue.js, Angular, and all of these technologies are designed to be connected to APIs. So the traditional CMSs are not designed for all of these new needs. So that's why there is this new kind of CMS, which is the headless CMS. So headless CMS still has a backend, so a dashboard to manage the content. This is where you're going to write your blog posts. But instead of managing the frontend, so the visible part of the website, it includes an API which makes the content available to any platform.
Gotcha. So it's no longer in charge of rendering the content. It's rather providing the content for applications or other media to render it.
Exactly, because a traditional CMS has a backend to manage the content, a frontend to display it. So headless CMS doesn't have the frontend anymore, and that's why it's called a headless CMS.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Actually, Strapi was the first headless CMS I heard of. How it all started?
Glad to hear that. It started in 2015. So with my two co-founders, Aurélien and Jim, we were working a lot as freelance developers while being students. So we did a lot of websites using traditional CMSs, but when we had to do a mobile application or using a modern front-end framework, I mean, it was not a great fit. So we decided to create something for our client projects, and that's how it got started. And we quickly realized that we were not the only ones having this need. So we decided to make Strapi public, and that's how we went from a private project to something which is not only open, but also open source.
Was it the idea from the very beginning to have it open source, or just it evolved this way, or like how was it?
It was the goal from the beginning because we are using lots of traditional CMSs, especially the most popular ones such as WordPress, Drupal, and Joomla. So for us, it was a no-brainer that a CMS had to be open source. And we quickly realized the reasons behind this is that developers want to be able to customize their CMS. Both in the dashboard, but also in the front end, or now in the API. And it's also because big companies prefer to host their CMS on their servers, especially for data privacy reasons. So that's interesting.
That's awesome. Can you tell us more about your founding team? It was you and you two colleagues, right? What were your roles in the team? All tech, or maybe somebody was more product, oriented?
Yeah, so we were the three students in the same university. Mm-hmm. So at the beginning, we were just three developers working full time. Not full time because we had to study, but we were only developing, so creating new features and so on. And the separation of the different positions came a bit later, especially when we incorporated the company. And so there is Aurélien, who is our CPO, Chief Product Officer. He has been a developer since he's 13 and started using traditional CMSs like WordPress when he was 14. So he's really experienced with CMSs, and he really built the vision around the roadmap and manage the product team. And there is also Jim, who was at the beginning really on the technical aspects of Strapi. Then he was the one who discussed the most with the community. So now he provides support, guidance, and manages the documentation for the community, which is extremely important for an open source project because we don't only have to provide support to our customers, but especially to the community to make sure they are successful. That's the mission of Jim. And I took the CEO role.
Gotcha. Perfect. Perfect team. Evolve organically the roles, which makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
How much it took you guys to build the first version, the MVP?
I think it took about a year, maybe a bit less, and especially we were not full-time on the project. So my recommendation here is that the sooner you release the first version, the better it is. Open source is all about iterating, and it's okay if you don't release a product which is not finished. That's my recommendation.
Yeah, absolutely. I can totally relate to that with our story of Stofron. We have pretty much the same situation that we released very early. Maybe not, perfect product, but sufficient to get engaged by the community. And that was the key.
Yeah. Definitely.
Awesome. When did you realize that this is it? I mean, when you found the product market fit and you saw this adoption growing up?
That's a really good question. And maybe you say that this is, you never said this is it because you always want to improve things. I think you realize that you are on something when you get really positive feedback from your users. And I think the word that we received the most at the beginning was promising. It was as frustrating as encouraging, because promising means people are not satisfied yet, but they want to see more. So that's how it started. So that was typically the kind of comments we received after the release of the first version of Strapi. And when we released Strapi V3 in alpha version at the end of 2017, so it was two years after the first release, it was 2 years because we were still students. We switched full time on the project in the middle of 2017.
Yep.
And for the V3, we almost completely rebuilt Strapi from scratch, but with the feedback we had from users for 2 years. So it was a completely new product, lots of technical changes, completely new UI and so on. And so when we released the V3 in alpha version, we also released our new website, our new documentation, and we did quite a lot of communication, and we saw the metrics like jumping like never before. So at this moment, we knew that we were really on something.
Gotcha. Makes perfect sense. So also with more thoughtful communication after your first experiences, you also found that it's working pretty well from marketing standpoint, and it starts growing rapidly. What category of tools are you in? I mean, it's more like developers tools or marketing tools. I suppose that there's, you know, a lot different category of users using it, but what is your majority focus?
Yeah, that's a really good one. So most of the CMSs are first set up by developers, and then those developers provide access to the CMS, to the marketing teams, and those marketing teams are going to use CMS in the long run to manage the content, to update the blog posts, and so on. So at Strapi, we mostly target developers because it's in our DNA, and also because we're convinced that they have a very big impact in the decision process. It's and when a company needs to choose a new CMS, most of the time, developers or CTO or technical teams are going to say, okay, this one looks really nice. I recommend you this one. And then it's going to be validated by the marketing teams. And the marketing teams will say, okay, can I do this and this and this? And then the product team will say, okay, with this one, yes, you can do this and this and this. Maybe not this, and so on. So the decision is made, obviously, with everyone around the table. But most of the time, the list of CMSs, the list of different options, comes from the developer's team.
Gotcha. So it's like you need to attract the developers with the product. They are the entrance to the company, in a way. And then you need to stand the requirements from content and marketing departments, right?
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So we do communication only for developers. So no paid acquisition, only mostly content marketing, with tutorials, some events, and so on for developers. And then they recommend Strapi in their companies.
You already said that you decided for open source because it was like pretty much no-brainer for CMS. All the products, or most of the products, most of the popular CMSs were open source at the moment. But I guess this is tough to build the company. You need to pay the bills in the end. How can you do this with the open source? What are the business models for open source products?
Yeah, it's a longer journey with open source because you first have to build the community, but it's definitely worth it. So there are three main business models with open source. The first one is support. So since you have the technical expertise on your product, you can help companies using your product, and they're ready to pay for it. So that's the first option, but first, it doesn't really scale because you have to sell time, basically. Yeah. And also, the more you add, the more you improve your documentation, the less your support is going to be useful. So that's the first one, and it's not the one we decided to go with. The second one is OpenCore. So you basically create an open source project with a scope of features, and then you also release an enterprise edition, which is basically an extension of the community edition, and it typically includes features for enterprises, for teams, for security, these kind of things. And the third business model is SaaS, so software as a service. So since you already developed your product in the open with the open source project, you just have to create a SaaS, which is actually offering your product as a service.
And which one is your core business model?
So we decided to go with OpenCore at first because there are already some headless SaaS out there. At Strapi, our main difference is really that this unique positioning, having an open source customizable CMS. And all of the companies that contact us at the moment for additional features they want to keep Strapi hosted on their servers. So that's why we decided to actually build what our users want, which is additional features at the moment.
So you are selling the license for more sophisticated enterprise version of Strapi, right? This is the core business model. So you have Open Core, which is open source, and then you have some additional features, probably some better handling of security, privacy, things, and permissions in this enterprise commercial version.
Yeah, exactly. So to give you a few examples, so the first feature we released in the Enterprise Edition is role-based access control. So it's really to restrict content management settings configuration to some users. So that way, I mean, at the end of the day, it's all about security. And the other features we are going to add in this Enterprise Edition is a single sign-on, publication workflow. As you know, all of these features are really enterprise-oriented.
Yeah, absolutely. Makes perfect sense. I'm just wondering if there is no conflict between commercial product and the community version, because this is something I very often saw with all the communities I was engaged into. I mean, Magento, even if you start from, there was always, you know, this biggest competitor you had on the market was your open source version, right? Because there was always this balance between how many features should be there in open source to have it successful, to get the adoption, versus the additional features you have in commercial. And there is always somebody who's saying like, okay, fine, I'm okay with open source. Do you see the same problem? Or maybe you have some, you have some solution to just finalize those discussions?
Yeah, I think this is a very common problem in every open source project. And I think the best option is really to understand who you are selling to, what are the use cases, what do you bring, I mean, in terms of value with this Enterprise Edition. So for example, at Strapi, we put everything in open source, except if it is really dedicated to marketing teams. And I insist on marketing and teams because we want to keep everything for developer for free. Then we consider that we add lots of value to the marketing teams through features such as role-based access control, publication workflow, and so on. And it also helps to keep a very good relation with our community members. Most of them are developers, so we don't create any frustration. Another good example is the business model of GitLab. So in their pricing, they have different tiers, and each tier is dedicated to a persona, like developers, manager, and executives. So it's also a good way to explain easily for the community and even for yourself why you are putting this feature in the open source edition or in the enterprise edition.
Yeah. That makes perfect sense, and I very, very much like this idea of positioning. So open source is for developers, but usually the budgets are within the marketing and business departments, and for them is the commercial edition, and you are trying to hear their needs very well and accommodate to have all the features they require. That's really great. Let's maybe switch to community for a moment. You have 30K stars on GitHub, still growing. Did you grow it organically or maybe investing into some marketing?
So it's mostly organic. First of all, it's all about building a great product and a good documentation. And so we never did any paid acquisition like Google Ads and so on. But yes, we do some marketing. What we do the most is content marketing, especially publishing tutorials. That's really our main strategy. DigitalOcean and Auth0 are two good examples of this.
And we are doing a great job.
Yeah, definitely. And we also organize events. So So this year, obviously, most of the students, all of the students are virtual. And we really try to empower the community of Strapi because we have thousands of people in the community and they all love Strapi. So some of them really would like to write blog posts, to be speakers at events. So we really try to provide them resources so they can do it.
Gotcha. That makes perfect sense. Can you tell us more about this community itself? Like, who are the members of it? Mostly users or maintainers, extension developers?
So there are mostly users, like in every open source project, I think, because you always have more users than contributors.
Yeah.
But we do have more than 500 contributors on the project. Which is really nice, and it's contributors all over the world. And we also have extension developers, and you're raising a really interesting topic here. So at Strapi, we really believe that what made the success of CMSs like WordPress is not WordPress itself, but it's really the ecosystem of plugins around it. So we are convinced that the same story will happen in the headless market.
Yep.
So our main focus next year is going to provide a plugin API. So that way, anyone in the community can build plugins and extend Strapi according to their needs. Yep. So that's something we really plan to increase.
That's amazing. Actually, my next question was about the marketplace, if you have plans building it. As I understood, you have such a plans with this growing ecosystem of partners, right?
Yeah, exactly. The previous question was a good transition. So yeah, we definitely have planned to provide a marketplace. So it's not necessarily to make revenue, but it's really to centralize all of the efforts made by the community to extend Strapi. So yes, we will provide a marketplace, which would be 100% free at first. And then we will eventually give the possibility to developers to sell plugins through this marketplace. And again, the goal is not specifically to make money, but really to let people make money from their plugins. So that way, they can get revenue and are very much encouraged to maintain their plugins over time. So yeah, that's part of our strategy.
Awesome. I really like it. I'm a fan of Gatsby.js as well. Like, different product, but their ecosystem is amazing. Growing so fast.
Yeah, they're doing a good job.
Yeah. Okay, Pierre, that's perfect. Thank you. Let's talk about the product. What are the key use cases people are using Strapi for?
Yeah, so the main use cases are editorial websites, corporate websites, e-commerce, and mobile applications.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we also see a bit of IoT, knowledge bases, and lots of different use cases, which is really interesting in the headless landscape. I think it opens doors for new possibilities, and that's interesting. But yeah, as I mentioned, these are our main use cases.
Yeah, that's perfect. I heard a lot about the cases of using the Strapi as a backend for mobile apps. So actually, this the second case you gave, and also for e-commerce. That makes perfect combination to manage the whole digital experience. And on the other hand, it even could be used as a kind of database, right, where you store all the objects for the mobile apps.
Yeah, exactly.
What makes this unique as a product if you compare it to other headless CMSs, commercial, non-commercial, doesn't matter. What do you feel is your USP?
So obviously open source, but what it really means is that Strapi is self-hosted, and that's extremely important for big companies or just any company that wants to host their CMS on their servers that want to keep control on their stack. So that's the first thing. And the other thing is customization and flexibility. So we really designed Strapi to be extremely customizable. So not only in the dashboard, but also in the API. And by the way, the name Strapi comes from Bootstrap, your API. So at the beginning of Strapi, it was a tool for building APIs. And as a result, we provide the possibility to extend any API endpoint. And this is extremely powerful for developers, so they can easily connect their CMS to other services, which can be other SaaS or internal services in their company. And Strapi is also really powerful in terms of content structure flexibility. So if you are building a blog, the content structure will be really simple. You will have blog posts, and every post will have a title, some content, eventually an image, and that's it, basically. But what we decided to do with Strapi is to make the content structure extremely flexible. So if you're building a website and on the homepage you have a tagline and then you have an image and then a slider and then a list of features and so on and so on, that's something you can easily do in Strapi. So there are the collection types in Strapi if you have repeatable content such as blog posts. There are the single type as well. If you have non-repeatable content, like a homepage, for example, since you have only one homepage on your website. And there are also the components, which are very similar to what you can see in any front-end framework. And you can actually reflect what you're building in your front-end into your CMS. So that way, you can say, in my React or Vue.js or Angular application, I have a component, which is a button. And every button has different props, like a link, a color, a content, and so on. And then you're going to build the exact same components into the CMS, and you will be able to reuse your component into different content types. And that's something which is very, very powerful and extremely appreciated by our users.
Gotcha. That makes perfect sense. And it's multi-platform, so you can render it in any application or channel you have, actually, from the same object model, which is great.
Yeah, of course.
How can it be used for e-commerce? I guess for e-commerce, building e-commerce site, you need to list the products, have features like shopping cart or whatever. How Strapi can be used for digital experience management in e-commerce cases?
Yeah, so I would say there are three different use cases with e-commerce and Strapi. So the first one we see, and not necessarily recommend, but we see a lot of users who want to manage our products in Strapi, which perfectly makes sense. And then they're going to build all of the e-commerce features inside Strapi, especially because everything is customizable. That's something you can do. So you can, for example, record your orders in Strapi. You can connect Strapi to Stripe if you want to handle the payments, and so on. So it requires quite a lot of work. But that's something which is possible, and we could even add this feature as an entire plugin in the future. The second way is to keep managing the products in Strapi, but then you're going to use something like Snipcart or Commerce Layer to handle the payments, the orders, the shipping, shipment, and so on.
So it works like a PIM. Product information management in this case. You have order management in some other service like Commerce Layer or whatever.
Exactly. And the third use case is that people manage their products and the entire commerce lifecycle in Shopify or Magento or any other e-commerce platform. But then they want to be able to get the products into the CMS. The best example of this is that they use Strapi as a merchandising tool, which means on the homepage of the website, there will be, I don't know, a tagline, an image, a button, and so on. So that's pure content, not necessarily related to e-commerce. Mm-hmm. But then imagine there is a slider of products. And this slider must include 5 products. So imagine you have 1,000 products in Shopify. How are you going to select what products you're going to display in this slider?
Yeah.
So what our users do is that they actually build a slider component into Strapi, and they are going to set their Shopify product ID into Strapi. Mm-hmm. So that way they can link as a Shopify product as a field. So we only store the ID, and the data of the product stays dynamic into Shopify. So some users will get the product ID from the front end, and then they will request the Shopify API. And some users will override the API endpoint, which, for example, sends all of the data for the home page. And in this payload, they will also merge all of the data from Shopify on the fly. So when you get the data for the home page from Strapi, Strapi will actually get the data from Shopify for you and will aggregate mm-hmm. everything together.
Okay. Sounds really interesting. Thank you. Let's get more into general questions. I always ask pretty much the same questions in this section and never got the same answer, which is very exciting to me. So the first question is, what's the most important learning you've got from building the Strapi as a product?
Okay, so I'll try to give an answer you never had, otherwise it will change your plans. So yeah, I would say I think the main learning is just listen to your users, and they are always telling the truth. And even if the creator or the founder of a project, you have tons of ideas, I mean the users are always right. It's important to have new ideas, but before developing them, make sure they are validated by the users. And if you have the choice between something you want to do or something your users are requesting, just go with what your users are requesting.
I really like this idea. Your users are always right. I like good tagline for
something. And as an example of this, at Strapi, you know, we're really in the open. Transparency is one of our value. And our roadmap is completely public, so people mm-hmm. can upvote the feature they would like, and that's really how we build the roadmap with our community.
Yep. Yeah, makes perfect sense. How do you see the future of enterprise software in general?
That's a really good question. I think more and more companies will go to the cloud. So it can be SaaS, but also self-hosted on their own cloud. And mm-hmm. I think the limit between both will reduce over time. Yeah. And I think open source is a very reassuring way for companies to start using something, because they are not locked into something. And like 10 or 20 years ago, open source was only about, or almost only, I should say, because there are really good open source projects. The projects were not necessarily maintained by a full-time team. Whereas now, investors are more willing to invest in open source projects, which means we can have very high quality projects. And open source definitely deserves the same quality and the same involvement as SaaS products.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really where we are now.
Yeah, gotcha. It makes perfect sense. What trends, tech trends, are over and what are under hype?
That's a really hard one. I would say GraphQL is increasing like crazy. It's growing like crazy, and I think it's only the beginning because it really offers tons of possibilities. TypeScript is going really fast as well. That's a really hard one. Maybe also static website generators are extremely helpful, but they don't cover every use case. So I think we will see something more hybrid in the future.
Yeah, you mean Jamstack is actually underhyped, right? It's growing and important.
I would say it's growing for sure. Static website generators are more and more popular. Yep. But I think front-end frameworks that have static capabilities, but also dynamic capabilities, will be game changers because static is good for some use cases, but it doesn't scale as easily as a dynamic website. So I'm sure we will find something very popular in the future.
That's something interesting. In the middle. Okay. I've got just one more question. If you were not to start Strapi, what other product would you like to build starting now in 2020?
Okay, so I didn't prepare my list of frustrations to find your products. I think authentication is still a pain even in 2020, especially if you want to use something which is not SaaS. Same for analytics. Analytics for apps and mobile and web apps. That could be two ideas.
Very, very interesting. Recently, I just saw something called ROSS, ROSS Index, the most popular products in open source. And actually, two of the most growing products were, first was about the analytics.
Okay.
And second was about authentication. So I think that you have really good sense of what's needed out there on the market.
So, okay, that's funny. And
that's perfect. That's
okay, cool.
Maybe you just extend your portfolio of products in Strapi, just adding another one.
Yeah, maybe, but I think we have tons of things to do as a CMS.
Gotcha.
This is going to be our only one focus for the upcoming years. We have lots
of
things to do.
Yeah, focus is everything.
Yes.
Okay. Exactly. Thank you, Pierre. It was great talking with you. Great interview. Thank you for taking time for being with us.
Thank you so much to you. It was a pleasure having this discussion with you.
Awesome. Guys, if you have any questions, feel free to post them under in the comments, and we're going to try to answer. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the CTO to CTO podcast. And now just a quick reminder, we've been preparing some YouTube playlists so that you can really get the most out of our content. So make sure that you go to our YouTube page and hit subscribe so you don't miss out on that. And see you next week.